We are back live in Chicago at StarCast 3 here on Fight TV. And this is one there's been a lot of buzz about, Mark. Podcasts seem to have taken over a part of professional wrestling. And we're going to hear from a man that has been doing a podcast now for 9 years. And we just learned, hot news, this will be one of the final episodes of the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana.
Yeah, shocking to hear that the clock is ticking on the Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana. And I have a lot to say about Colt Cabana. The guy is the OG of the wrestling podcast. Like you said, Scott, now everybody has a wrestling podcast and some very good ones,
yes,
which we're going to talk about in just a little bit. But Colt's podcast has been around for 9 years. It's always excellent content, a lot of listeners. And I think it's because Colt has not a unique perspective on the business, but certainly a perspective that not everybody has. He's been a great in-ring performer.
Yes.
He's been a commentator, still does some stuff for Ring of Honor and does very well. He's had some input on the creative side of the business. I think he's even worked as a stand-up comedian, like our good friend Dean Malenko.
Correct.
But I just think the guy is brilliant. I think it bleeds through into his podcast, because you can be really smart about something but not know how to communicate it. And Colt Cabana has always been good at communicating the art of wrestling.
A 20-year career in this, the sport of kings. How about these names? Danny Dominion, Ace Steel, Kevin Quinn back at Steel Domain Wrestling. That's where it started for Colt Cabana. And here we are 20 years later, and Colt Cabana is still going strong. We're about to see him here at StarCast 3. But let's broaden our horizons here a bit, Mark. Podcast in general, we just saw a promo from our good friend Tony Schiavone with What Happened When. That's a fantastic podcast with Conrad Thompson, and Conrad has sort of redefined podcast in pro wrestling.
Conrad has kind of taken the wrestling podcast and made it a corporate entity, and that's no criticism. He's just taken it, expanded it, made it very palatable, very presentable, very available to just about everybody. So, but Colt Cabana might be, you might say, he's the guy that started it all, or pretty darn close.
Very, very good point, and I agree with that. It's time. You know, a lot of people are talking.
Surprise guest, Scott.
That's exactly what I was going to talk about. That's the whole point of the Art of Wrestling podcast. You never know who is going to show up. And Colt Cabana has been the subject of a lot of speculation, a lot of buzz over the last couple of years. We never know who's going to show up. And that's a shoot. In fact, he didn't tell us who the guests are going to be. So we have no idea what's coming, but we do know this. On the stage, the Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana.
All right. How you guys doing? Come on in. Sit down. Relax. You're about to listen to The Art of Wrestling, a professional wrestling podcast. It's a life podcast. It's a personal journal. It's an entryway into the minds, the souls, the hearts, and the lives of the people involved in the world of professional wrestling. I am your host. My name is Colt Cabana. Hello, everybody. I am a podcaster. I am a man with no sleeves in a surprisingly well air-conditioned building. I am a convention goer. Most importantly, though, I am a professional wrestler, and I am not coming to you live from my studio in Chicago, Illinois, but I am here at the Schaumburg Hyatt Regency in front of a live studio audience. Thank you. Before we go any further, this is a fan support and listener support podcast supported by people just like you. I would say we give it to you free of charge and all that other stuff, but we are kind of winding it down. So I would say the best way that you could support is always ColtMerch.com, DigitalColt.com, T-shirts, buttons, pictures, posters, DVDs, a children's book, Micro Brawlers, all the Wrestling Road Diaries movies. Also downstairs, as we are here at StarCast 3, I do have ColtMerch.table and ColtMerch.meetandgreet/... if you don't give the money to StarCast and just slide me a 20, that money all goes to me.com. Don't tell anybody I said that. I am live on Fight TV. Conrad's not going to watch all of these, right? There's no way. He's too busy counting his Blue Chew money. The other way to support, I started a Patreon, so if you want to listen to all the past archives of the show, over 380 sit-down talks with different wrestlers over the time, and live shows just like this, that's patreon.com/ColtCabana. The archives are $4 for the rest of your life a month, or for an extra dollar, $5, I've been putting up stuff, just random stuff, and I'll continue to do some podcast stuff and some fun stuff. So those are two great ways to support. This will be pointless when the podcast comes out, but also some of you guys got flyers coming in. We're doing myself and a guest who will be coming up pretty soon are doing a free comedy show on Sunday at 6 p.m. Doors are at 5. It's at a barcade in Wicker Park called Emporium, and we'd love to see you there. I did laugh a little bit when I said Schaumburg. I don't know. Schaumburg's kind of like the joke town of Chicago. And then, of course, here we are. As kids, we would call it Schaum Vegas. Okay. I do have some business I have to go through before we get into our guests, and I'll have a co-host with me. This is the StarCast schedule. They're making me say this. So in this very room right now, you guys are watching a live show called The Art of Wrestling. But there's a bunch of different shows, and some of the shows got changed. You guys know how it is. Card subject to change. So just bear with me as I go through this admin. I hope it's okay. Is that all right? Okay. So after me from 4 to 5:30 is the Best of Great Khali on TikTok. So apparently he's been really into TikTok as of late. For those of you over the age of 35, for those of you over the age of 20, TikTok is fake Vine with music and dabbing. So, and of course, Great Khali, that's his thing now. He's into it. From 6 to 7 o'clock, there's going to be a live show called MJF, How to Steal Money in Wrestling by Disguising Racism as Heat. It might be more of a seminar, so I guess take out your notebooks. 7:30 to 9 is DDPK. So I guess DDP is kind of opening up his horizons and his business. We all saw him on Shark Tank. Of course, DDPK is DDP Kama Sutra. So you take what you learned in DDPY, and then I think... Apparently, there's also, what's that in my ear? Apparently, there's also going to be DDPS, which is DDP Swingers. Okay. Slingers? I just got heckled by a man telling me Slingers was a better punchline than Swingers. But all I could think of was his ex-wife with her boob out in that one movie, so. What movie is it? 40-Year-Old Virgin? Yeah, we all knew that. We've all cranked it to that movie. We've all pushed pause on the DVD. Just me? Okay. And then the late night show is 10 to 11:30, late night with Joey Ryan's Dick. And apparently, I guess we're to tell you that Joey Ryan will not make it, but his dick will, and the show will go on. So... just keep that in mind. I guess tweet out to your friends. Let them know. Maybe don't tweet the people that I made fun of a little bit. Before we get started, I usually bring a co-host onto the show when I do these live shows. And I'm very excited to bring out a man who has a show in the other room coming up right after this podcast, so we can all kind of go there and over towards that one when this is finished. He is a stand-up comic extraordinaire, what do you got? Mr. Reen? Mystery, Marty DeRosa.
Well, folks, the Power Driver album spawned no less than 8 super videos.
Sure, and by mystery, I mean... That guy on the VH1 who would pick up chicks.
Oh, the pickup artist.
The pickup artist, yes.
Guys, if you want to get a girl here at StarCast, go, oh, Bullet Club shirt, idiot. And then they'll be like, ooh, who's this guy? I was actually running late. I was at the, there's a show down the hall, Steve Bongo McMichael, who the fuck let you do a Tombstone Piledriver as your finisher? That was a really fun one. And then after that, Brutus Beefcake is giving everybody Mongo haircuts, which is really awesome. If you've always wanted that Mongo bowl cut, Brutus will do it.
Did we all see Mongo McMichael here?
Yeah, you don't not see Mongo anywhere. He had that beautiful bowl cut. Mm. I love it.
He looked thin and trim.
He looked good to go.
Remember those long, he had those, the weirdest long trunks.
He had the weirdest everything. Guys, they let him do a Tombstone Piledriver to people every Monday night. It blows my mind that he didn't paralyze everybody.
If you could ask Mongo McMichael one question, what would it be?
I don't know. I guess.
Would it be about Deborah?
Maybe, like, Eskimo Brothers with Stone Cold. That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
And probably Eskimo Brothers with most of Chicago. Yeah. 85 Bears fucked all of Chicago. I don't know if you know that. Most people who live here, their dads are 85 Bears. It's a lot like, I don't know my dad. You're like, your dad's the fridge, dude. Come on. Stop acting like your dad's not the fridge.
Your dad is Gary Fenson.
Yeah, your dad is Steve Butler. I would probably, because I'm always, whenever I'm at these conventions, I'm like, who's going to be the next PCO? Who's going to be the guy in like a year from now who's like, oh, where were you? Now you're on every show. Maybe it's Mongo.
Basically, you're saying, who will Joey Janela?
Yeah. Who's going to get Janela-ized? Maybe it's Mongo.
Janela-ized. I sent him some, I can't remember. I sent him a text being like, dude.
Mongo?
No, it wasn't Mongo. Oh. No, I sent Joey Janela a text. Man, this makes for good onstage podcasting. Who did I say?
Do you want to pause the feed on Fight TV?
Yeah, if we can.
Do you want to put like a hang in there? We'll be right back on Fight TV.
It's got like a monkeys with a fucking wheel going on. Guys, trust me, it was somebody good, all right?
Okay,
ask me at my table downstairs for
we'll
$5.
Just cut a line, and then everybody go, oh, yeah, on the count of three. One, two, three. Yeah, so that guy. And, then, and what did the text say? Oh, shit. I thought you just couldn't think of the name. Anyway.
Was it Steve Lombard? No, it was somebody good. This is great. This is going great.
Yeah, you'll remember as soon as the show's over.
Okay. Anything else that you've witnessed or in the world of wrestling before we start bringing some guests on? Anything that's been scratching your head about wrestling these days? Anything that you like, you dislike?
I call it performance artist. I don't call it professional wrestling. I'm over that. I call it performance art.
Sorry
about
that.
Big performance art fan. I'm loving it.
The WWA, the wrestling arts. Okay, next question.
Yeah. This guy's good. I mean, this is good.
My improv chops are at their finest.
This
I'll be
is
honest.
Good.
I flew home from Scotland.
Yes.
I flew right home yesterday.
Filmed a TV show.
You're wondering why I don't have any facial hair. It's because apparently when you book a role on Chicago Fire, firemen aren't allowed to have facial hair. And I was like, I got a big show at AAW Logan Square tonight. And they're like, and Dick Wolf was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Shave it off.
Yeah.
Did that. Came here last night. Wrestled last night.
Won last night. Defeating. Not only winning, but sending MJF out of AAW.
And then this guy creepily looks just like him over here. In his
it's very
I just keep on looking at him. No, and then his fake dad is right in front of him too. So
MJF's fake dad is right there. Very interesting. Who have you seen anybody who you're like, oh wow, they're here? Any wrestlers or anything like that? I was looking through figures. I was looking through action figures and I looked up and Greg the Hammer Valentine was just like,
I was gonna say,
oh shit, Greg, you scared the hell out of me there.
I did see Greg, and I did like that. Also, I thought Lance Archer had shaved his whole head off.
No.
But he had tightly knit that crazy red hair into
beautiful braids.
I feel like a 5-year-old girl probably did it.
My girlfriend is so into Lance Archer.
Stop bragging about your girlfriend.
I have a girlfriend, sorry. But he spit on us. This is a great story. Didn't at the Ring of Honor show at the Odeon, did you go up to him and go, hey, man, you're just spitting on people? And he's like, yeah, it's pretty cool, huh? And you're like, I don't think you can do that anymore. He spit on everybody. Oh, I thought you were going to do a Lance Archer spit take. Ah! That's basically, Lance Archer, if he wanted to, could have a table where you just sit there, and then he's just like, all right, what's your name? Scott, all right, cool. And then spit in your face.
My name is Colt.
No, I'm saying if your name was Scott, I don't know why. I just picked that name.
Hypothetically speaking, out of the blue. All right, should we bring up our first guest?
Absolutely.
And have a good time? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm super excited to have this guy to start the show off. He will probably sell you hard on ColtMerch.com.
Oh, yeah.
And DigitalColt.com. I'm going to ask him to help me on the Patreon. I got a new Patreon. Please welcome to the stage, Don West.
Eight by tens for sale right now. Get on up here. $45. First one.
$45. I've never charged
$45. No. Don always starts high and then goes low. So you feel like you're getting a real deal.
Do the bundle.
Colt Cabana Samurai Sword available at ColtMerch.com.
Jim mid 10, baby.
We got some real West heads out here. Don, first of all, thank you for joining
us.
Thank you,
buddy.
We talked a little bit on my podcast, a little bit how you've bounced in and out of the world of professional wrestling, I think most notably for being with the TNA announce team. But my memory of you is, and I don't know if I assume everyone, but is late night hawking cards.
Yeah.
From 91 to 2000. That's actually how I got in the wrestling business, because they were, you know, go to, and you know, town to town, and Double J was telling me about they'd pull into wherever it was at 3 in the morning, and they would turn on the TV, and that's when I would be on.
Yeah, wrestlers, oddly enough, can't sleep when they do a lot of cocaine, so they would watch a lot of Don West. It's like, I'm all coked up. What am I going to do? Buy a samurai sword.
And believe it or not,
you don't want coked up wrestlers buying samurai swords, but
that's about the truth, though. They thought I was on it I'm screaming at 3
hey,
in the
you
morning.
Like cocaine, too? Come on, call some wrestling matches.
But that's kind of what happened. And they were like, we gotta get him in the wrestling business. And turns out we lived in the same town.
Of course you did.
Yeah, it's how it worked out.
So Jeff just, like, saw you at Walmart.
It was actually, believe it or not, when I was at Shop at Home doing all the ball card selling, Vince Russo was a big baseball card guy. And he called me there, and they actually were going to bring me into wanted to bring me to WCW, and it just wasn't something I wanted to do.
Yeah, we have audio of that.
Bro. Yeah. Yep. Vince, big fan. Need a Mickey Mantle rookie card, but that's not why I'm calling you. Love to get you in WCW. We're doing a lot of fun stuff. Fuck it, I'll make you the champ. And that's how it went. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's pretty good.
That's crazy.
There are a few more bros, but
yeah.
That's tremendous. And then it turned out Jeff had found out, and he called me up and found I was in Nashville, and I met him, his dad, and Ron Harris of the Harris Brothers. And that was intimidating, and we met and had lunch, and his dad starts grilling me all these wrestling questions. And, of course, his dad is old school. And, I didn't know anything. And I thought, well, that was a good interview. That's not going anywhere. And
Do you remember any of the questions?
Heck no. And I got home, and I went, I don't know what they were wanting, but I don't think it's going to work. And I'm not kidding you, 30 minutes later, Jeff calls, all right, we're going to start this thing up, and we'll see you here down, you know, in about a month, and let's get this thing going. So that's how it happened.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. From the sounds about right.
I don't know. Just come down the fairgrounds. We'll charge $5.
What do you want to do?
Pay-per-view.
Want to try announcing? Sure, go on in it.
Did you think that was their? Did you think their business model was wild? A Wednesday night pay-per-view, $10 or whatever every
five
night?
Bucks a night.
Was it five or ten?
It was ten.
$10.
It was because it was a. That was the big selling point. Was you could get 8 hours for $40, where a normal pay-per-view was 2.5 hours or 3 hours for $40. So it was $10 a night. No, I don't think anybody thought it was really going to go, but who knew? And yet it went enough to where we were able to land a Fox thing, and we went down to Orlando, and we were doing both for a while, and somehow it just kept going.
Were you doing any of the Home Shopping Network stuff while in wrestling? Were you balancing that life?
I was done with that life, and I was doing some infomercials on my own. And I did a sports talk show in Nashville.
Okay.
Was what I was doing every day, and I did that for years. And
what's the craziest thing you sold?
Well, the most expensive thing
in both real life and wrestling?
Yeah, wrestling, that list is too long.
Is there I want to know the craziest thing in wrestling and real life. Well, you had an answer before I cut you off like a real ass.
Well, the real life was I sold a T206 Honus Wagner card that looked like it had been in someone's wallet for 100 years, which it had, for $80,000.
Whoa.
Yeah, a good one. The best one, the one that Wayne Gretzky owned at one time, is a $3 million card today. So it's the Holy Grail. In wrestling, I mean, boy, I'll tell you what, that was the worst steel cage.
Did Russo ever pitch something and you go, I'm going to need to hear that again? I don't understand that match at all.
Well, the thing about the Russo stuff was, you know, he would pitch stuff and you kind of look around and you go, is that like normal? You know what? I've never booked a match in my life, so I'm the last person to critique anybody that ever did one. Trust me. So,
Before you got into wrestling, were you selling wrestling stuff?
You know what's funny? When we were in Vegas, I had dinner with Animal. And when I was at Shopping Home early on in the days, now this was so early on, so this was like 1992, 93, 92, he came in. And we were so small then, the only people that could get the show, remember those giant satellite dishes people used to have in their backyards? And they were just, they were the size of Cuba. And you had to focus them in, find the satellite in the air, and G6 and Sat-10 and whatever. And that was the only people that could get the show back then. And I had four operators that would take the phone calls, you know. And Animal came in, and we were selling Styrofoam, you know, Doomsday outfits and little action figures. And
for just him or for WWF?
Well, he was with, who was he with in 93? Whoever they were with in 93.
Yeah, either WCW or WWE.
I mean, we're in the right crowd that would know this answer.
That's what I would think. Like, 93. It was just Animal, no Hawk, and he came in and that was the first time we met. So we had met way back then, and we were talking about it over dinner in Vegas and just laughing and cutting up. So that was the first wrestling stuff that I'd sold. Now, later, when Shopping Home became really huge, when the cable business changed, we had Buff Bagwell came in one time and did
what was
show.
He selling?
He was selling fake calves.
I'm pretty sure there were some plastic hats that went out. I'm pretty sure of that. But that was pretty much about it. But we would do some pretty neat, unique stuff on occasion.
All right. And then have we figured out the weirdest thing you've ever sold in wrestling?
Man, you know, it's one of those things. As soon as you walk out of here, you're going to go, oh, my gosh.
I know.
So-and-so's underwear. We had it on the stage. But, I mean, in the wrestling business, there's nothing you can't sell. I mean, if they wore it.
Is that real?
Yeah. I mean, if they wore it.
I got some weird shit at home if you.
Hey, Colt, I promise you. Someone. I don't tell you what the price is going to be, but someone will spend it. I found that out.
Can you sell my car?
Well, of course I can sell it.
Do you think a wrestler's
just
car.
Don't give me a. I got to have this for it. If you leave it open, we'll sell your car.
You want my car? If I sign my car. If I Sharpie the hood.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I love about StarCast and Conrad. I'll go back to him and say, hey, what do you want for this? Because he's got some great stuff. And I'll say, what do you want for this? He says, what will it take to get you to stop asking me questions? I don't want to take anything home. That's all I'm going to tell you. Just I don't want to take it home. So that's why if you want to come to the table, we're wheeling and dealing, baby.
And especially, what, like Sunday at...
Oh, yeah.
Sunday at 6.
That's always a good time.
Everything has to go.
About 3 o'clock on Sunday is a good time to ask for a deal. That's for darn sure.
All right, perfect. And then, Don, anything you want to plug or promote?
Nah, not really. I'm just out here having a good time, buddy.
Hold on. Yeah.
My life's simple.
I was waiting for it.
That was the craziest thing. Yeah. Don West, do you have anything to promote?
No.
Yeah.
Hey, Ric Flair, want to brag about anything? I'm good.
As far as in my life, no. Now, if you come to the table, I'm doing a T-shirt, an autograph picture, one of the pins. Some of you have already gotten the brown bags. And I'm doing throwing in a deck of cards. We're giving you the bag. $25 for all of that.
Can't beat that.
There you go.
Don West, ladies and gentlemen.
Don West.
Thank you,
that's my jack of all trades, buddy, right there.
We were in a movie together.
We were in a movie together.
So check it out on Netflix. We're both in jack of all trades.
In that special deal, you can get a Colt Cabana picture. Not signed.
Seem approved.
I didn't sign off on that. Don West, everybody.
Don West.
Great. I forgot to brag about that we were in a movie together.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It's a baseball card documentary. Why would I forget about a baseball card documentary when Don West is on stage?
That was your childhood coming to life.
It really was.
What was the most expensive baseball card you ever had?
I remember spending $24 on a Don Mattingly rookie and then looking it up in Beckett, and it was like 10, and being like, they got me. That's about it. All right.
Garbage Pail Kids.
You ate them?
No, I had them.
Okay.
I ate them. I was a weird kid.
I went and saw Garbage Pail Kids, the movie.
Ooh, you were the one?
And I remember finding like $5 on the floor in one of those things. You know when you put in a quarter and you twist it, it's like a little egg?
Yeah.
Someone had left $5 on the floor in an egg. And back in like 1987 when that was, I mean, I was basically a millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unreal. Also, this is going way off topic, but I remember being at the bank and there was a $50 bill on the ground. And I remember just being like, and then when we left, I was like, Mom. And then she was like, that's all right. And then we went and bought a Genesis game.
There you go.
Yeah, it was great. You can clap at Sega Genesis if you want.
That was a nice gentle clap for Sega Genesis.
Okay, our next guest, let's hope he's here. Okay, perfect. He is my SmackDown friend.
That is correct.
He has been off the scene for years now. Excited to bring him
on. Is he the next PCO?
He could be. Please welcome Jimmy Wang Yang.
Yeah!
My hound dog, he's named Boo. Some people criticize my way of life. Yes, I'm going to have to punch someone tonight.
Yes, SmackDown Heat over here.
I'm 0-2 on handshakes.
Wow.
Yep, we got heat.
What's the heat?
I'm late to the game, so I just started listening to podcasts 2 months ago. Right? We did a podcast, 8 years ago?
Yeah, probably 7 years ago.
And I just heard it for the first time 8 years or 2 months ago. I'm obsessed with podcasts, right? Guess who's getting out of business?
That's what makes you mad?
Dude, I own a party bus, so when I drive the party bus
Stop. No. Let's make sure everyone heard that. Okay. What is the business you own?
Jimmy's Redneck Party Bus. Yee-haw! Right? Right? So I take people down to bars, games, concerts, all that kind of stuff. Then when they go inside, guess what I do? Guess what podcast I listen to? And guess who's getting out of that game?
What is this, a question and answer? What's going on here? Yeah. Is this a Scott Hall survey we're taking here?
Jimmy, in wrestling, when you do that, you hold the mic to everybody so they can...
So, okay. I got one question for you. Yeah. Do you want Colt to keep on doing the podcast?
Yeah! Wait, just so when you sit in a party bus, you have something to listen to?
Yes, dude. Hey, every Thursday.
You know you can call him,
hey,
right?
Right? When does it come out? Thursdays, right? People go out party bus Friday and Saturday, right? So I'm looking forward to that podcast every Thursday.
Marty brought up a great point. Just call me.
Call him.
I don't want to call you. Nobody calls nowadays, right? Text, call. I don't want to call you. I want to, you know.
Hey, Cole, what was it like that one time when you went to that one show? He'll tell you he's a great storyteller.
Mm. Just like the way I told the story of Joey Janela. All right, Jimmy.
But I'm just kidding. I love you, Colt.
Thank you.
The Art of the Podcast is probably the best podcast out there.
Thank you. It's not called The Art of the Podcast, though.
What's that? Art of Wrestling.
Big fan.
Sorry.
I love Art of the Podcast.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the party, let's talk about the party bus a little bit.
Okay.
Why? What? Who?
Who needs designated drivers tonight?
Oh, now you're making me look like the bad guy.
Huh? You need one? We all need one, right? So it's a great business. It's a, you know, supply and demand, you know, and
Do you advertise as the wrestler?
Yeah. Have
you gotten business because you're a wrestler?
Yeah, like WWE did the Where Are They Now story about it, and they also did it on .com. So they helped me a lot.
And it was just you in the party bus listening to my podcast.
Yeah,
everybody's like, we're going to have to edit this out. We can't have this out here.
No, that was only 2 months ago, dude. I'm telling you, I'm so late to it, and I got hooked to the podcast, and now you're getting out of it? Like, what?
All right, is this just going to be 10 minutes of you berating me?
Or what? Or if Jimmy's like, "Yeah, man, I'm getting into these VHS cassettes. I think these got a future here. I got a VCR on the party bus. Everyone's like, play Goonies. He's like, I got you. And then he pops
it
in.
No, I play The Last Dragon, baby.
There you go. There you go.
Last Dragon, right? Who's the master? Yeah. Who's the prettiest?
So one of our favorite stories is, I mean, we helped. I helped me, Jimmy, and Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan, helped train Show Nuff to be, Bruce Leroy, to be a professional wrestler. Are you still friends with Bruce Leroy?
We're friends. And then we finally had to, because we started the angle in Ring of Honor and finally got to do a tag team match in L.A. with Billy Blade and Vendetta Pro Wrestling. And, like, when did we do, do you remember when we started that?
That must have been 2006 or 2007.
Yeah, so then we finally had the tag team match, like maybe 2011.
Okay.
And it got on TMZ, and it was, I love that movie. Everybody love that movie? Or, yeah, greatest movie of all time, right? So, like, but that was, like, really, like, a dream come true for me to team with Bruce Leroy. And we had a guy doing Show Enough and his gang, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty awesome.
Are you still... I've seen you on shows maybe a couple of years ago. What's your wrestling schedule or wrestling life? Do you take part in any of it?
So I've been so busy with the Party Bus Company. Like, and the days that I do party buses are on the weekends, right? Everybody goes out on the weekends, Fridays, Saturdays. What days are wrestling shows, right? Fridays, Saturdays, yeah.
You guys are on top of this.
Set the ones on Monday and Tuesday, right? So that's and Wednesday now. So, but
know your audience.
Yeah.
There's a big show coming out on Wednesday.
Yeah. So, So, and wrestling is a hard business. I know everybody knows that, right? And I've been doing it for 20 years. You know, so like now it's my time to transition out of wrestling and look for a future. So that's what the Party Bus came about. And then basically I turned down every wrestling offer in the last 8 years because I haven't had a weekend off with the Party Buses.
If you're at home, please just take a shot every time you hear the name Party Bus.
Yeah. Why are you stopping the podcast, man?
Have you thought...
I got a question. You want Colt to keep on doing the Art of Wrestling podcast?
Yeah!
Give me a hell yeah if you want.
Jimmy, I got a great wrestling tie-in with the Party Bus. You hire Shaggy 2 Dope, and he can get powerbombed on the Party Bus and then fall off.
Yeah. Does it? Yeah. WCW. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Were you there for that?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, Mike Awesome, and, you know, but rest in peace, Mike
R.I.P.
Awesome.
Yeah. But you were there for that.
Yeah.
Was everybody
We did the Gathering, and that was bad for me. That was
You had fun at the Gathering of the Juggalos?
I almost died twice.
Could you have used a Party Bus at the Gathering?
Yeah.
Take a detour on the drug bridge at the Gathering of the Juggalos?
We gotta get out some good WCW stories, I feel.
Yeah.
I feel you were just like a fly on the wall, probably, and saw everything.
Yeah, I was, actually. That.
How old were you?
18.
18?
18,
with
19.
The most maniac locker room of all time. Just sitting back like, this is totally normal.
But
Scott Steiner, a regular dude.
But I was such a fan at that time. I was just sitting in the locker room, like, oh my God, look, there's Sting over there, Ric Flair. I can't believe I'm in that locker room with those guys at that time. You know, like 18 years old, and I'm the youngest ever to sign to WCW. I signed my first contract in June of 1999. I turned 18 in May of 1999. My birthday's May 13th, so I was this huge fan. I know cosplay's cool now, but back then, like at school when they had career day, I came and dressed up as Sting, like face paint and all, and walked by, and I remember kids yelling at me, saying, "Hey, it's not Halloween, freak!" I was like, "I'm Sting!" Ow!
For career day.
Career day.
And
they're like, "Jimmy, you got to get into the Party Bus business. It's way more lucrative than pro wrestling."
Any chance I had to dress up, I dressed up.
Did any of the people, like, obviously we want to know everyone who did like crazy amount of drugs, but that, you're obviously not going to say it. But did anyone like take you on as like a mentor, like an older wrestler at the time? Because there's a lot of older guys in that locker room.
Yeah. So there's another crazy Mark moments, fan moments. So I grew up in Georgia, a town called Austell. Like the town next to it was called Mableton, and that's where Eric Bischoff lived and DDP. So what happened? My friends and I were crazy about wrestling. It's like, okay, we know they live in that neighborhood, but we don't know how to get to them. Halloween's come around. Ow! I'm gonna be Sting, right? So we all dressed up as wrestlers. I was Sting. My friend was DDP. So we went to every single house till we found them. And DDP is so cool. Like, he's a lot cooler than me and you would be to fans. Like we knocked on the door and Kimberly came out. And
right, one nipple out. One nipple right, out. Yeah.
She opened the door. I'm like, you know. And then she's like, oh wait, guys, I gotta go get Paige for this. And then like he came out, came to the door, and he's like, bang! And we're like, oh, you know, yeah. So it's so awesome. He brought us in.
And you were 17?
Yeah, 17 or 16.
So a year later, he's like, damn, you look familiar, dude. Yeah. Where do I know you from?
Yeah, let me take my pin off. Yeah. You know, like, and then I say, hey, you know, you remember that? And so we did Halloween, and then we stalked his house every day after that.
Of course.
So then, like, one time.
Dude, it's Flag Day. What are you doing here?
Yeah. Well, that's what's going up to, because it was Christmas next. And he was out there hanging up his lights, and was like, oh, but DDP, hey, you need any help? He's like, oh, yeah, come down here, monkeys. And we hung up his Christmas lights and all that kind of stuff, and then, yeah. And he bought us Papa John's pizza, and was like, this is so cool, you know, like. And we was on the top of his roof and everything. It was so dangerous, whatever, but, like. Well, it was the coolest moment ever, you know.
That's
so
insane. Yeah.
And then a year later, I'm in the locker room with them, you know, and I say, hey, Paige, you remember me? You know, I was like, remember that guy that put up the Christmas lights and stalked your house every day? Say, oh, hey, yo, bro, what's going on, you know?
Like,
hey,
that's normal.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good to see you got a job at WCW.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, get my bags, you know. Say, oh, yes, sir, yeah. So
bro, you're working my pool guy tonight. Match.
Sorry. Yeah.
All right. Well, do you want to give a plug for something, anything? Yeah. Could be anything.
If you need Christmas lights, Hong. If you need.
I got one question.
How did they come party with you?
So if you're in the Cincinnati area, hit me up. It's I got a Facebook page, facebook.com/ Jimmy's Redneck Party Bus. And I got one question. Do you want Colt to still do Art of Wrestling?
What did you say?
I try to get this point. You can't stop the podcast, man.
You said a name that I don't think we say on this podcast due to legal reasons.
What, CM Punk?
No. It's so crazy because that's how he just discovered podcasts.
Yeah.
He knows nothing of what's going on.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to this two-parter. It should be pretty good. And nothing could go wrong here. I'm up to November of 2014. Should be awesome. Oh, no.
All right. Jimmy Yang, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Give me a hug, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jimmy. It's not every day a sweet boy gets to meet his favorite podcaster. This is dreams are coming true.
Yeah. If you could help me with my menorah, that would be great.
Hey, when you're in Milford,
there you go. That was wild. Who, if you were a kid and a wrestler lived in the neighborhood next to yours, who would you have wanted?
Well, obviously Barry Horowitz for me.
Sure.
When we used to go, I don't know if you were like this, but when we used to go on family vacations, I would just like pray there was wrestlers on my flight.
Oh, yeah.
I would pray. I think Barry Horowitz, because I lived in a Jewish neighborhood, I assume Barry Horowitz probably lived around me.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another guest.
Let's do it.
Shall we bring out? Please put your hands together and please welcome the amazing, awesome Kong.
Yeah.
This is Kong!
As opposed to what?
Well, like, okay. The first time I even ever did, like, a podcast was with Colt. And we were in, like, this basement hallway. Do you remember that? We were, like, up under, like, this...
Under the sea. It was actually like, the Little Mermaid.
It was like dust and stuff. And I was like, he was pulling out all kinds
That's
of equipment.
That's how it works. You just do it wherever you can.
Yeah, we're all close together like this and talking. This is different.
This is different. There's people here. They want to know everything.
Yes. Goodness.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yes. What does your weekend entail this week?
The weekend entailed meeting all these wonderful folks and doing all like my physicals and things to be a part of the AEW family and team.
You have to take physicals?
Yeah, you got to take physical. You know, in other states, you get licensed to be a wrestler.
Not here. Illinois is a real
the Wild West.
A real shit show. There used to be a commission here, and it was so scandalous that they nixed it. Like, everyone was just stealing money.
It was all in corrupt.
Corrupt, that would be the correct word, yes. Which
rarely happens in wrestling.
Or Chicago.
Chicago.
Actual heels.
Trying to wrestle, my friend?
obviously, the one thing I want to talk about, and everything probably everyone has in mind, maybe you can kind of tell us the story, how everything came together, but I'm on episode 5, season 3.
Oh.
Of Glow, which is Kong is on.
Yeah. Now, did you finish the episode, or you're like gonna start episode 5?
Oh, you probably know him so well. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
like, cause episode 5 just happens. The second half of episode 5 happens to be my favorite because we do something like really wacky in there.
Well, you can maybe.
Like we switch things up. We like.
Yes, I watched. Yes,
yeah,
I seen
so,
that.
So like that in itself was like really fun to film because they like just let us go like hog wild, so we said like the craziest shit. They're like, well, maybe not like that far, but they just let us like be artists.
How's your lower back?
Oh my god, it's killing me.
Yeah. That's from the show. If you haven't seen it, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, from real life.
I steal my friend's Netflix account, so I can watch it. Okay, so I mean, you got this part with all these real Hollywood actors, and it's always kind of weird when a wrestler is able to sneak themselves into something like this. Did that sound awful and mean?
Yes, I'm a real Hollywood actress.
Are you a train?
it feels funny because people, when they go like real, I'm like, wrestlers, we are entertainers. Don't discount us. Don't discount yourself, darling. You are worth something.
Yes. And we're in the same world as I had 3 lines on Chicago Fire yesterday.
So
I know what you're going through reading
your
these
union,
scripts.
You're union, baby. Yes. You're union.
No, but obviously it's a wrestling show about wrestlers, and it's all Hollywood actors. And then there's, like, I feel everyone in wrestling was like, I think you represent everyone, like, where we're just excited that they put someone from our world in the show.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm curious about that process and how it came about.
Well, a friend of mine, Brian Winstein, a lot of people in the wrestling world know who he is, called me up. He knew that I used to do acting. I grew up as a kid actor before I got into wrestling.
Wow.
So he knew
that. I
picture
you in your gear, but as a little kid.
Right?
Like,
I want this cereal.
Sunshine cookies are the best.
No.
Wait. Did you do a thing that people could watch on YouTube?
Oh, I don't know if any of my stuff's on YouTube. I did like a lot
of
like plays, and I would do like background on TV shows and movies and things. I never really got a principal gig as a kid, but I did work a lot as a kid.
So what was something that was like a movie or a TV show that everyone would know that you were?
George Foreman had a show that I did.
With his kids, right?
Yeah, with his kids. It was about like a group home. And then there was like Married with Children and things. Yeah, we did like a bunch of like stuff.
Nice.
That's awesome.
That's quite
to go back
IMDb.
And be like, call my dad. What shows did you take me to as a kid? I can't remember. Yeah.
So Brian Winstein hit you up.
He hit me up and said that that Netflix was doing Glow as a series and that I should go out for it. And so he sent me the script, and I sent in an audition tape. And I went out for Cherry originally, and they were thinking of Cherry as a little bit different. And so they liked what I did on the tape because I went, like, all out like a wrestler would, you guys. And they're like, she's funny. Will she read for something else? And then so I read out for TMA. And then I liked what I did on that too.
Was there any wrestlers that tried out or auditioned?
I believe there were a few wrestlers that went out. I don't know exactly, but according to Brian, he did reach out to a few other wrestlers to go out for it.
And then you've been training with these girls, right?
Yes. And they are, oh my gosh, they have the heart. If they ever wanted to like dip their toe into wrestling, they totally could. Like, we would train. And being that, you know, I'm like, I'm a wrestler. I've been wrestling for like 15, 17 years. I'm going to show them it's not so easy. So we'd like show them a move. I'm like, yeah, do that. And then they would do it. And I'm like, damn.
Has anybody like really said like, oh, like, can you get me on a show after?
Anybody taking indie booking on the weekends? Brie Larson, like, yeah, I'm doing a Game Changer this weekend.
Yeah, people,
taking on Nick Gage.
When people... Maybe not that.
I'd pay for that. I'd pay for that on Fight TV.
I often will try to, like, a lot of my family members have been on the show. Like, if you watch in this season, you'll see, like, my husband in different scenes because he'll just, like, come by and, like, we'll stick Dan here and stick Dan there.
Really?
Yeah, during episode 5. He's in episode 5, actually. We actually pass him when I'm...
Is that how you get coming on TV shows?
Oh, you could. I mean, sometimes it's who you know. You know, but there are actually a bunch of my friends in, like, well, I'm like, hey, you want to come down today? It's, like, a big scene with a whole bunch of people come down and be an extra. And then they'll do it.
Oh, man.
Did you watch Glow as a kid?
I did. Yeah. My brother and I did. That's actually how, like, I got into wrestling. We would watch WWF, and then later we would watch Glow together. Mm-hmm. And we would, like, we had this plan. Back in the day with Glow, there was a tag team called Hollywood and Vine, and my brother and I, like, would rehearse if we ever, like, saw them in the street. We'd be like, okay, you take the ankles, and I'll take him by the neck and twist him by the nipples, and it will get him down and, like, cuss him out. Like, we had, like, a whole plan of how we were going to assault these women if we ever saw them on the street. Because we, like, took what they did. Because they were great heels, so we took, like, what they did so seriously. We were going to avenge our heroes, like, for real.
And so now you've started to take some more wrestling booking.
Yeah.
Obviously, AEW.
Yeah.
And what was your mentality in that decision?
I love how things are shaking up. I love new stuff. And AEW is doing something new and shaking things up. And I wanted to be a part of that. So, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's time for me to go back to my roots.
Yeah, you were off for a while.
Yeah, right? It's gone. Having a good time out there in Hollyweird. Yeah.
And then, like, obviously, are you going to continue? Like, is the idea to move, like, steamroll this forward in more acting and?
Yeah, I'm
like, are your agents like? Oh,
I'm going to
you?
Try to balance both worlds and see what I can't do in both worlds.
But I'd imagine if you're on this show, which is a very successful show, and you're so great in it, by the way,
thank you.
That it's probably easy for agents and stuff to move you on to other stuff when this is all said and done.
Yes,
right?
But I am a wrestler. Once wrestling gets you, you know, I'm just not going to abandon it and just, like, you know, I'm a wrestler. I love wrestling.
That's great.
I think TNT still knows drama, so...
There you go. There you go.
Maybe they can reboot Thunder in Paradise or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I see more of a woman being the lead of Thunder in Paradise.
Cool. Anything else that we need to know?
I don't know. Ask me. No. Everybody knows everything. You could go. You could follow me on Mean Queen K on Insta. No. No.
Nope.
It's Twitter.
Okay.
You can follow me on Spinning Fist on Instagram, and then you can find out what's new.
Cool. Are you on TikTok?
What the hell is a TikTok?
Colt's a millennial. He's into all this new app.
Is that a real thing? Okay.
No. All the kids are into it.
Yeah. You and Greg Kelly would be the only two. All right. Awesome calling, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, this is Marty.
Nice this is to Kong. Meet you.
So do I just leave? Do I just walk off?
You can lay down, hang out if you want.
I've made this awkward now, right?
But it's the. Pretty good.
You were supposed to go and cut, and then that would have been, all right, I'll get out of here.
Okay, we have a very special guest next. I'm super excited to have him on the show. Please welcome Jerry the King Lawler. Oh. I know we don't have much time with you, Jerry.
And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because in exactly 5 minutes, I'm supposed to be signing right on the other side of the hotel with JR. And trust me, I don't want to keep JR waiting. I don't want to sit for 2 hours and sign with a pissed off JR. And, I've sat for 2 hours and did a Raw with a pissed off JR before, and it's no fun. So
I saw you on the stage with StarCast last time with a pissed off JR.
Man.
Okay, well, then, I mean, obviously. In my head, when I was going to have you on, I know we only have 5 minutes.
It's nice to be here. Thank you all very much. I know we talked about, we were going to talk about Andy Kaufman. We were going to talk about Memphis wrestling.
Oh, I know. Okay, so the first thing with Andy Kaufman is, I mean, I know we all heard the base story of it, but I am curious of, like, did you become, like, real friends with him? Did he?
Yes.
Yes.
Became real friends with him.
And like,
when he first came to Memphis, I didn't know him from Adam. I knew he was a big star on Taxi, which was the number one rated show in America at the time. He came down to Memphis for one reason. He wanted to wrestle women, which he was doing already. He was going around playing the bad guy wrestler in nightclub acts and on TV. He did it on Saturday Night Live and on Merv Griffin and all of these kind of shows. But he wanted to wrestle women in front of a wrestling audience, in front of wrestling fans. And he approached Vince McMahon Sr. with the idea, and Vince actually told him, he said, Andy, you know, I'm just hesitant to do it because our wrestling fans are skeptical anyway, and I don't want to involve a Hollywood actor with our wrestlers because I'm afraid people will think we're all actors. And that's why he turned me down. And fortunately, Bill Apter overheard the conversation, and he put Andy in touch with me. He said Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett have their own promotion down in Memphis, which Andy was from Long Island, New York. He didn't even know anything about that. This was during the territory days. He didn't know that there was another territory down
because
there.
Because he was a huge wrestling fan.
A huge
but he
wrestling
didn't know
fan.
That the territories were. He didn't know about the Memphis territory.
No, he just knew wrestling in New York. That was all he had ever seen. So he came down to Memphis, and at first, you know, that's all he started out doing. What he wanted to do was wrestle some women out of the audience. It was all legit on the, he didn't know who was going to challenge him. They picked five women. He wrestled all five of them. If anybody could beat him, he offered them $500. And that's the way the whole first show went. Of course, he sent in some interviews playing the bad guy, and we sold out 11,500 people at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis. And so Andy came back afterwards. He said, how was that? And I said, great. You want to come back next week? And he said, oh, my gosh. And he didn't even realize, we did a show every single week. Every Monday night we'd do a live show there. So we brought Andy back another couple of times, and after three times of him wrestling women, I'm thinking, man, how can I get the rub off of this big Hollywood star, right? So I went to Andy and I said, Andy, what you need to do? You need to have a match with a man. This has about gone as far as it can go. And he said, oh, no, I can't do it. I'll get hurt. And I'm doing Taxi and all this kind of stuff. I can't risk that. And I said, you and I could have a match, Andy, and I promise you, you won't get hurt. And that's how it all came about, you know. But we were, he was a good friend.
Did he have insecurities or questions about what was going on? Like, did he confide in you in that way of maybe not being sure of all of this
No,
stuff?
He was absolutely had no idea what went on in wrestling. The only thing is what he was a fan of because he had seen it on TV. And he told me, hello? Oh. Anyway, he told me at the time, he said, I saw Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. So I was a big fan of his. I watched him on TV as a kid. And he said, I could tell that he was intentionally trying to make the people hate him, but yet at the same time, he was still popular. And that made such an impression on Andy. If you go back and look at his career, that was what Andy tried to do throughout his whole career. He said, I'm not a comedian. I've never told a joke in my life. I don't like to make people laugh. He was a performance artist, is what he called himself. And he said, I enjoy making the audience uncomfortable or mad. And so really, he spent his whole career, he hated being on Taxi because he was a lovable character. And he spent his whole career trying to be a wrestling bad guy.
And then was there anyone that he, like, was in awe of?
I got to go.
In the Memphis?
I can okay. Do, I think my phone is buzzing. And
all
I know
right. Jerry Lawler, everybody.
Give it up for the king.
Thank you, guys. I'll come back and do this some other time. Can I do
it? Would love to have you.
Thank you all so much.
I just got a text from Jared that says, where the fuck is Lawler? Oh, so you better get out of here, yeah. You better get out of here.
Oh, such a tease.
Man, so many questions.
So many questions.
I'll be Lawler. Ask me some questions.
Which was your favorite? Cheesy, wheezy, squeezy, or incompleasy?
Incompleasy, always.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so I think we should all tweet Conrad and say there should be a Colt and Marty talk to Lawler.
Talk to Lawler for longer.
On StarCast
yeah,
4.
Yeah.
That's a decent clap. But more people reacted.
Do you think he paid Kaufman for those matches? Like, here's...
We can't...
Jared, it's
we're
today,
so
Andy.
Close.
Ah.
We were so close to knowing those answers.
Ugh. He did. Okay.
Yeah, but then I heard he didn't... I heard he never cashed the check.
Oh, what a star move right there. Like, God,
not a Jewish move, I'll tell you that.
No, not cashing it, yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, we booked Colt and paid him, but, you know, those checks are like, let me guess, he never checked. Oh, no, he cashed it right away. Yeah. He took his phone out and did the app right away.
Okay, we do have one more guest. But before we have the guests,
yes,
we are going to play a little video. I wish it was Jerry Lawler from the
back. I wish it was. With a camera in his face like TMZ. Jerry, one more question, real quick.
Do we have that video queued up? All right.
We're 40 years of entertainment and growth. How do you talk about the forbidden truth? Something that everybody wants to hear about, but nobody wants to talk about. I remember that little girl. I remember the time, the day. I remember the smell. I remember that. This is a story you've never heard. Turning tragedy into triumph. The hard work and determination, the inspiration and the motivation, not letting your past define you, but challenging you to be something greater. How did I survive? I listened to my voice, and the worse the situation got, the more I wanted to overcome.
Ain't worried about the pain, we're used to it, it don't faze us. Stepping out with these combat boots laced up. Can't turn around now you gotta face us. Can't run, can't hide, see their heads nodding like the base up. Digging deep, call me underground, I know the time now. Standing on my own, two that's 10 toes down. You ain't know, I can't run things, now give me my crown. Looking at my haters with a smile on my face, you will never hold me down. But I gotta keep moving, yeah, I'm on to the next gladiator, baby. When I fight, it's to the death. It's every ounce of me, that's every shred. No, there's nothing left, this my legacy. I battle for respect, go to war with these demons, and I have no regrets. Check the box, rinse through, when I came to collect. Can't hide the pain, you can see it in my eyes. Giving all I am, cause I got one life. One life. In the darkness, I'ma be the light. Working harder when they pray for my demise.
From my heart, this is honest, in hopes that it will help others in need. Because survival... is the best revenge. I was born different and treated very wrong, but I found a way. This is my story.
It's inside of me. Greatness is what I gotta be right now. Dig deep, find yourself, and you'll find your way out.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Medusa.
The only queen of carnage. I will beat your ass. This is my time. Busting doors, breaking glass ceilings. And I like to play. They used to call me a Lunder Blade, but not anymore. I am Medusa and always will be Medusa. And that's what I think of the women's championship belt. I hail the mother trucking queen.
I felt like Ashley Simpson on Saturday Night Live for a second there.
Hi.
Hello.
Wow, this is amazing.
And you have a crew with you there, too?
I do. They're the director, co-director, producers, and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Let's hear about it a little bit.
So, well, thanks for playing that trailer. That really means a lot. It's a documentary series, My Personal Revolution, and we are on an Indiegogo fundraiser for it. So we got about, I don't know, what, about 20, 25,000 left to finish the documentary. And it's pretty amazing. It's a story. It's not a victim. It's a story about a girl overcoming adversities and building her life, finding strength to overcome from a childhood of much, well, mental abuse and some physical abuse and finding her way into this wonderful world of entertainment and overcoming all of that back in the day. And it's a great message. It will motivate you. It'll make you happy. It'll make you cry. It'll piss you off in a good way. And it'll definitely hope to have you share the story, and it'll encourage others to come out and talk about their adversities in life and what you can do to help other people.
And...
Oh, you don't... Thank you.
But you're obviously very passionate about this, and it seems like, is this something that happened like in your life now that you're ready to tell the story, or something specifically happened that like now is the time to kind of let it out?
Okay, that's a great question, because I see, and trust me, I've been in the makes of this for a long time, and with everything changing in social media and what to do, you're going one direction. You're like, wait a minute, the shit just changed. It went this way. Okay, now we got to do it that way. So I've been writing an autobiography for 25 years, whatever, and it's coming out. But now this is really a good motivation way, or a great way to market the book. So we're doing the documentary web series. And as far as why I'm coming out with it, so watching all the things that are happening today, from the Harry Weinsteins to everybody else, and I was listening to all the backlash of everyone saying, why in the hell are they all coming out now? They had their time, they wrote blah, 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 all this stuff. So trust me, when all of that was coming out, we were in the midst of writing and making all this, I'm like, oh, hell, I'm going to get the same backlash. But it's not like that. And it's about me, nobody else. And that's the first thing I had to get straight in my head. It's not about a tattletale story on anyone, and it's not throwing anybody under the bus by any means. Let's just get that straight. It's a story about one individual girl that you wouldn't believe what... Everyone has their story. That's what I think. Every single one of you have your own story that is just important. And I'm just using my platform to get it out there and express and share. So it's not just one individual thing that has happened recently, even though my book starts with today, because something just tragically happened and I shouldn't be sitting here. And if anyone knows that I'm a pretty closed-lipped person on my own personal life, and I really have never put myself out there. And so being vulnerable is very scary.
Very scary, yeah.
I'm just taking a breath.
Yeah. But this is exciting.
It is very,
I'm
emotional because it's exciting, not because I'm scared. Of course, I was scared to express it because people judge and negativity. And so this is to express the negativity people and the naysayers that you can do it. Fuck you, screw you. And I'm about ready to do it again. Many people call me old, washed up. You shouldn't be here. And that's how I feel. And there is a time and a place for everybody. And I don't care what age it is. You remember that, people. Every lady, every man, every child. Age does not define you. It does not. It's your perseverance of overcoming everything. I'm good. I'm good. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
No. I'm good.
Well, let's talk a little wrestling. Sorry. I guess because of we see women headlining main event WrestleMania, and it's all amazing. I guess I would love to know breaking into wrestling when you did. I guess how just. You know, how brutal, or did you look at it as brutal or did you look at it as fun?
So I'm sure a lot of you heard this story, so I'll make it quick. So wrestling, I was putting myself through nursing school and I was approached. It's not something, and I'm honest about it, it's not something as a child I'm saying, like, I want to be a wrestler where there's so many wonderful talents, the Baileys and everybody that just dreamed about being a wrestler, which I think is phenomenal. I wasn't one of those kids. Because of my background, you'll find out in the documentary. However, when I was approached, I thought, oh my gosh, this is great. I guess, you know, the guys that spit and scream on TV, are you freaking kidding me? No, I don't want to do that. When the guy approached me and said, you should be in the entertainment business. And I thought, great, I'm a jock, I'm a gymnast, I can do all of that. I can be a stunt woman, hell yeah, because he was a Hollywood stunt producer for motion pictures. I said, okay, and then he introduced me to wrestling, and then I went into wrestling. Once I went into wrestling, I did my diligence, and I went, wow, this is some serious crap. But, man, I checked out the women, and respectfully I said, I am going to change the whole trajectory of this, and I'm going to get respect, and I am going to change it and make it legit. So what did I do? I thought of a name. I knew I had to go to Japan to be legitimized, to be taken serious and not just fucking eye candy. Nothing against that. Nothing against that at all. But I'm a competitor. And so I said, I need to go to Japan. I need to think of a name. I need to, I'll trademark my name. Who did that 40 years ago? Fucking I did. I trademarked Medusa. And it's history. And then the wrestling, it was game on.
Well, what about before Japan? Where were you wrestling in America?
So independence for 5 years. Right. I started 5 years. Didn't get paid a frickin' dime. I got paid $5 from Ed Sharkey. I swear to goodness. Lord have mercy. I love you, Ed. It definitely made me strong and independent and learned about the business very well. But, yeah, I just did independence, didn't get paid. And then I think I went to, you guys know my work. WCW, maybe? AWA.
I'd watch you after school. I was a fan. Little boy Marty was like, who is that lady in the white? I like her a lot.
Oh, yeah. You're fine. Well, I don't know. AWA. And there's a greatest story with AWA, and that is I was doing independence, and I get Wahoo McDaniel. I love you, buddy. He is the one that told Vern, you gotta check this chick out. Holy shit. And Vern's like,
I assume if you showed up, you blew Vern's mind. He was like, we don't have women like you in Minnesota.
Yeah, I always say it was something in the water in Minnesota because I'm from Minnesota. And so he brought me in, and I had to wrestle Sherry Martel, and oh my God, my ass got handed to me. And I love you, girl. I love you.
Can you share some Sherry Martel stories?
Oh boy,
that are appropriate for a podcast on Fight TV.
Are we live on Fight?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Mike Weber, thank you, buddy. I love you. You know why? Anyway, wherever you're at.
I shared a locker room, and I wrestled with Sherry in her later years. you know.
Were you the like the little bag boy at that time? Okay, you're only what? You're young.
Me, I'm.
I could,
20,
probably could have birthed him.
22.
I could have birthed your ass. I mean, were you even old enough to hang with Sherry?
When I was 21, she, you know, I think she was in her early
legal 40s.
Legal age. Yes. And we did some stuff in for Mid-American Wrestling in Milwaukee, and she was we did like a mixed tag match and a bunch of fun stuff. but yeah, I mean, you were with you were with her in her prime, or even before her prime.
Well, that's before her big break with WWF. So she was getting word that she was going, and I think Vern did too. And so Wahoo McDaniel's phone, it just helped escalate everything. And so when I came in, it pissed Sherry off, and I'll skip through a lot of that. But it was like, oh, my gosh. Sherry would not talk to me. She wouldn't even go over spots. She wouldn't even, you know, whatever. Did you just flip me off? Okay, whatever.
I did that too.
See, okay. Yeah, right. 21-year-old Sherry's friend. So.
I wish.
Yeah. Hey, right.
I would love to tell that story.
So, I'll never forget this one time. Oh, there's so many stories. I told this one, but it was the one where we were going down the road. She was with Playboy Buddy Rose and
Doug Summers.
Thank you. And they were in one car, and I was behind them. And I think it was with Pat Tanaka, maybe Paul Diamond. Thank you. You guys, if I get short sometimes, I swear to God, it's from my concussion. I can't remember some shit sometimes. And
just
so,
bring Marty with you wherever you go.
Wrestling at Comiskey Park? Do you remember wrestling at Comiskey Park? You guys wrestled outside at Comiskey.
Like, why am I going to remember that right now when I can't even remember Playboy?
You're wrestling in a baseball
you
stadium.
You just threw me a swerve. Okay, so they're in the car ahead. I'm behind. And we're and at that time, back in the day, they did some ribs, dude. I am not kidding. This shit was on. So they were driving ahead, and I don't even know what it was doing, snowing maybe. But all of a sudden, and I was like, oh, I already had my racing career started, you know, following those guys. And I'm like, driving, and all of a sudden they slow down, they brake, and there's, I think it was Playboy or Doug, he was driving. He was literally somehow driving the car, pulled down his pants and mooned us while we were driving. That's a shoot. And then all of a sudden we pulled into a Dairy Queen or something, and I was just like ruined because I was still young and green. And we're like, wow, this is some weird shit. And then we all getting all our blizzards and stuff. And they zoomed in ahead of us, and I don't know how or what happened. But Sherry started whipping out. She must have bought 10 extra blizzards because she started whipping them out the car, and they were hitting our windshield. And we're like, ice cream and crap. I was the dumbass and turned on the wipers, and the ice cream was going every which way. And then all of a sudden, they, not us, karma's a bitch. All of a sudden, they started 360. I'm pretty sure it was snowy and icy. And they 360 with somebody else's ass out the window, and they passed, and we kept going.
Oh, my God. All I could think about was someone paying for blizzards and not eating them.
Yeah.
Playboy Buddy Rose was
it.
Like, damn, I would have had that one.
Give me that.
And it did make me think of... because that's my Jewishness, is like...
Oh, wait, all that wasted money.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, are you you're a Jewish lady.
So my grandfather, in a really small conversation one day, tells me, we're Jewish.
sit down, everybody. Yeah. I got something big.
Yeah. And I said, really, grandfather? And if you look at my grandfather, he looks like it's, I don't know.
Woody
typical,
Allen?
Yeah, Woody Allen. And so the rest of my family is in denial. So I don't know, you know, I try to do my diligence and find out, and nowadays you can. And so there's a lot of confrontation that family don't agree, and they told me that he's full of crap, and they're whatever.
Well, I guess
and my grandmother, by the way, so I'm going to tell, so he says we're Jewish, and my grandmother, my whole life, tells me we're American Indian, and that totally flipped me out. And I'm thinking, how in the hell can an American Indian and a Jewish person get together? That'd be one hell of a war path. How do you do that, right? And then I was like, I don't know. And then we find out, well, there is no American Indian in us. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's not true with grandfather. But the more so that there is.
Right, you got to do a 23 in me or whatever.
A 23 in me?
20.
Maybe in you, but yeah. Not this girl.
Yeah. 21.
So
and
back
Jerry.
To the blizzards.
You, Colt, Marco, Stunt, go up to a room. You'll figure it all out.
So tell me more about Nowinski Park. What?
Kaminsky Park.
Where the
White Super Clash 3.
Super Clash 3, where the White Sox play.
Yes.
Where the White Sox play baseball.
You and Bad Company took on the Young Guns and someone else. Wendy Richter, maybe?
It could have been. Because that's who I dropped the title to, is Wendy.
Imagine wrestling in so many big shows, you don't remember wrestling at Comiskey Park.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest first shows I ever wrestled in, like I remember this, was the Cow Palace in San Francisco. Yeah, man, like it was the best. You know why? Because it was my first paycheck. Like, I got paid $800. Vern. Vern was so good to us. Vern was amazing to the women. I mean, if you looked at it, I mean, he kept putting me on TV, and I couldn't even speak correctly. I mean, I was, like, doing interviews, and people were like, God, get her off. I mean, yeah. So he paid us well. He kept us on the road. Vern was amazing. He was great to work for.
And then the last thing I want to talk about is I remember there was when you were Alundra Blaze. And was it Bull Nakano you wrestled in WWF? And you, like, tried to bring this... I watched this match where it was like you guys were, like, wrestling a real Japanese style. And I don't know if there was a story behind it where, like, they weren't... That's not the style they wanted? Or did... I don't know if something came of that, if you remember any of that.
Well...
Do you remember trying to wrestle a Japanese style in WWF?
Well, I remember trying to avoid the Japanese style the whole time in WWF against Bull. Not avoid, but no. I mean to clap back at for Vince and stuff. I think that he hired me because he wanted the women's wrestling to come back in a really strong style, and I've got proof to back that up. You know, even though he let me go at a time that I was the breadwinner my whole life too, and I had to put food on the table, and I was very disappointed that I got left. Why would the women let go? Why don't you let go of some men? Damn it! And I was pissed. And then, you know, it was pretty convenient. And then the next thing happened, and I was trying to, you know, I was trying to make a message saying, look, I am not, and that's where, you know, I said that it needs to change. Women's positioning here needs to change. We need to be heard. And why should a woman be let go first and not a man? And why? Why? It was so, you know, I was angry. So back to your question.
Sure.
See how that goes?
Sure.
What the hell did you say?
It was you and Bull Nakano.
Bull Nakano, yeah. Okay. So
but then it
back
got switched to Bertha Faye.
Yeah. So he just wanted women in a tough style. And so when we did it, there wasn't many girls, but there were good quality girls. But there wasn't a program like there is today at all. So we ran the gamut. I mean, we went around, Bull did and I, and... that was the style, and I know we tried crushing it. And there are a few guys that have enough kahunas that will come for us and tell the truth after all these years. There's so many things that I was just in the last couple of years. I mean, Sean Waltman and Scott Hall, and I mean, these are guys that finally had the kahunas to say to me, you know, Deuce, I'm going to tell you, the guys were frightened to follow your frickin' match from behind because of what was happening in your style. And Scott Hall would be the first to tell you, he's like, I ain't following that. You know? And I love him. And Sean Waltman, the same thing. And I think, God, after all these years, they finally said something. And that totally, after all those years and things that I went through, and you wouldn't believe that, after all those years hearing that one little thing, it's like, oh, you know?
It's nice to hear.
It is, after all those years. Just that little thing. So it's just, some words are just amazing.
One more time, the Indiegogo is available. It's up online. Everyone
it
can
is,
donate.
Yes. You can go to Medusa.com. You can everything. We'll start pushing it out and tweeting. It'll be on all the platforms. And
All right, Medusa.
Thank
everybody.
You so much, guys. Thank you so much. And if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. Whoop.
Yeah, you could take whatever you want. All right. Who would have thunk that would be the hardest?
Yeah, the dismounts are here. We got some dismount issues here.
You guys came in real late.
You guys missed everything. Waller threw a fireball Colt. You missed everything.
That has been the show. Let's first of all give a huge thank you for Marty for hanging out.
Ah, my pleasure.
Marty DeRosa, you have a wonderful podcast called Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. Maybe tell them about it.
Every Thursday, new episodes, and we're going to be doing a live show in the Blue Chew tent, I think it's called, where everybody legally has to take Blue Chew. And then we do our podcast when everybody's all cranked up.
Will anybody be a special guest on that?
Yes, we are going to have we're going to have Aubrey Edwards from AEW, Eddie Kingston, and we're going to have MJF's two fathers, Colt Cabana and his actual biological father, right there in the crowd. Raise your hand. It's MJF's real dad, everybody.
No, you're incorrect. I'm his biological
father.
You're
his biological father. That's his dad.
That's his adopted father.
I got to get the
father,
verbiage
yes.
right for our show. But yes.
I handed MJ off to him when I had to hit the road.
There you go.
Let's give a huge thanks to Fight TV for hosting us. Mark Madden and Scott Hudson for introducing us. Our guests, give it up. Don West, Jimmy Yang, Awesome Kong, Jerry Lawler, and Medusa.
If you need a party bus, Jimmy Wang Yang.
Yes. What else do I huge thanks to Conrad and StarCast for hosting us. I know that I'm slowing down the podcast, but I'd always love to come back to the StarCast and host an Art of Wrestling every single time there's a StarCast happening. I hope that's something that will continue for sure.
And how about a huge round of applause for Colt for all the hours of podcast enjoyment. Yeah. The godfather of pro wrestling podcast, Colt Cabana.
Oh, thank you very much. This has been the Art of Wrestling. For Colt Cabana, I'm Colt Cabana. Thanks.
Oh, well done. Thank you. Thank
you. He never disappoints, Mark. He's done it again. Whenever Colt Cabana hosts the Art of Wrestling podcast, you never know who's going to show up. You just heard Colt go over that murderous row of Don West and Jimmy Yang and everybody else that showed up today.
It's weird. I saw Don West. I ran out of the auditorium and spent a half an hour on the Home Shopping Network. My credit cards are now maxed out thanks to seeing Don West. I thought all the guests were great. Colt was awesome as always. I always love to hear Medusa talk, Scott. Yeah. When it comes to ground zero for women as serious competitors in this sport, certainly you can go way back to people like Mildred Burke. Sure. But most recently, Medusa for me is ground zero. I've always been a big admirer of hers, and to hear her talk about some of the struggles she had and some of the things she was up against was great, and I think would be very inspiring to women trying to make it in the business today.
Awesome Kong as well, Jimmy Wang Yang, Jerry Lawler for a cup of coffee out here with the Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana. Always good to hear the king. Any king is good king.
Yeah, but the king and I were backstage talking about my Steelers against his Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And, King, to steal somebody else's gimmick, if you think the Browns are going to win the division title, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Oh, he's not here. He's not coming yet, but as far as I know of. That's going to wrap up the OG of podcast, Colt Cabana, with the Art of Wrestling. But don't go anywhere as we continue here
on Don't you dare go anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere. We're out of time, Tony. That's a different guy. When we come back at the top of the hour, StarCast 3 continues here on Fight TV with... Write this down, the lifestyles of the rich and famous with MJF for the full 90 minutes.
Well, I asked if he could maintain being a jerk with that level of intensity for 90 minutes, and I've been assured that'll be no problem whatsoever.
I don't believe that at all. I think he could go for 90 days, 120 days, 90 years.
All night long, woo!
I thank you very much. That's coming up at the top of the hour. The lifestyles of the rich and famous with MJF. So much more still to come here at StarCast 3 on Fight TV from Chicago.